Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy love, Thy kindness. We thank You so much for all that You do for us. We appreciate You having an opportunity where we could come together as a group and let our requests be made known. And well, we've done that this morning. And we just pray for these people and for the lost that still need to come to Christ and a saving knowledge. Father, we're just grateful for the peace that You've given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Can you get me out of the monitors? Turn the monitor button. The red, that's it. That's the button. Testing, that's it. All right. I want to talk to you a little bit about go to Ephesians chapter 2 about salvation. And I'm doing this in the spirit of Aaron and anyone else that might be thinking about eternity. Ephesians chapter 2, I want to start in verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, you know, you're saved by grace through faith, and George is telling me very few people get this, but you all know whose faith that is, don't you? Absolutely. It's the faith of Christ. It isn't even your faith. It isn't your faith. You say, well, how much do I have to believe? You have to believe that He did it. But what He did is what saves you. See, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, well, I'm going to step up a little bit before that. It's fascinating to me. Before the cross, maybe we can afford some markers. Someone please pray about that. I didn't know that would be a big prayer need, but obviously it must be. No, that is, throw it away. There's a few things that you... What? He thought I was trying to hit him. George rescued him. Go to Mark chapter 14. That's in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, for you grace believers that never turn anywhere in your Bible but Romans through Philemon. I know the guys up in Kentucky are laughing at that. In Mark 14, and I want to start in verse 33. I'm going to kind of cut in the context. I hope I don't cut too low, but verse 33. "And he taketh him Peter and James and John, and he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto my soul, exceeding sorrowful unto death, tarry ye here and watch. And he went forth a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass him." Now think about what Jesus Christ is saying. "Lord, if there is any other way than going to that cross, if there's any other way that going to that cross, let it pass." You see, He's facing you. He's facing your sin, taking on what you are. And God is going to make Him into you. And He's seeing this. And He is sore afraid. Say, well, He's the Lord. Yeah, but can you imagine facing Gene's sins? Come on, are you kidding me? How about John's back there? My goodness. Tony's? Oh. it would, to realize what you were taking on, and listen to him, he says, and he said on a Abba Father. Now there's only a few people in this Bible that can call God Abba. You know what, who can? The church and Jesus Christ. That's it. And he said, all things are possible to thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou will be done. Now, that cup, I believe, contained what it was that you were. He looking down in that cup and he's seeing Barry Hampton. And he's seeing that rascal Barry Hampton, and that if he takes of this cup, he is going to become a sinner. He isn't a sinner. Jesus Christ knew no sin. But if he takes of this cup, he is going to become a sinner. Say, well, you think Jesus Christ became a sinner? Well, let me show you something. Go to Psalms. Go to Psalms 22. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute, and I want you to think about salvation by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. I mean, folks, this isn't that hard. You know what makes it hard? In the reading of the Old Testament that we did last hour. That veil is upon your eye. You know what opens that veil? The glorious gospel of Christ. That's what the Bible said. In Psalms 22, you don't think Jesus Christ? This is the thoughts of Jesus Christ while on the cross. You want to know what he was thinking? This is what he was thinking. He yells out to God, "My God! My God! Why hast thou forsaken me?" While Jesus Christ stood upon that cross, he yells out to God, and he is a what? He's a God-forsaken man. You know what a sinner is? A God-forsaken man. When Jesus Christ was on that cross, God forsook him. You know why? He couldn't be in the same place where you are because of your filthiness and the rottenness of your sins. You all understand? There is no way that God's presence can be there. And so God leaves him. And so there's Jesus Christ as a man hanging on that cross. Scared to death, he said. Sore afraid before he got there. You know why? He had become something that he had never, ever, ever, ever been. You know what he'd become? Sin. He's hanging on that cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the roarings of my words, or the words of my roaring. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I'm not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou deliverest, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trust in thee and were not confounded. I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men. Can you imagine Jesus Christ calling himself a worm? You know why he was a worm? Because of me. He was a worm because of what I am. He was a worm and turned into something that he wasn't. Why? He made a choice. It's called the faith of Christ. That's weird, isn't it? To hear Jesus Christ saying, I'm a worm. And you know what? Men can't even admit what they are. The Lord says, I'm a worm and I'm no man. Yet men today put their chest out in the pride as if they're keeping the commandments and the laws of Almighty God, and as if they're doing something right before Almighty God. Are you kidding me? It makes me want to throw up. Self-righteous attitude, hypocrites. I am a worm? You gotta be kidding me. You think you're something? Look at your Lord and Savior. What do you think you got that's so hot? So impressive. Your repentance? That was for you, Bronx. You think you're walking the aisle is so impressive to Jesus Christ that He just, oh man, I'm impressed with you. You want to know how to get saved? Get so sick of yourself you need something other than you. That might be a key. If you really thought that you needed to be saved, you'd cry unto the Lord. And some of you, it's been amazing. I had a guy one time listen to my voice for years and years, finally get saved. He'd listen to Brother Moore. Listen to Jerry Lockhart. I mean, good preachers. Just listen and listen and listen. Because he couldn't see what he was. Look at the Lord. He tells you what he was. He became you. He was a worm and no man. A reproach of men. Despised of the people. You know what? Most Christians today are not despised of the people, are they? They're lifted up, aren't they? And this is how we say it. Oh, isn't Sterling just a great Christian man? You know what? When I hear that, it makes me want to throw up. Well, that Tony Hewen, he is a fine, outstanding Christian. You know what you're saying when you're a Christian? That you ain't any good, that you're about the lowest common denominator of nothingness. In Tony's position, that's probably true. And he sells Toyotas besides that. Those ones with the sticky thing, he'd sell anything. Do you all understand that, you know, here's the Lord, and he's up on the cross, and, I mean, he knows what he is. But I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. And all that see me laugh at me to scorn. Can you imagine that? Being on the cross and having people laugh at you? When you know for a fact in your mind that you're dying for their filthy, rotten sins. Can't you get the picture? I hope you get the picture. There's Jesus Christ dying for the sins. He had taken of that cup in Mark and became you at the cross. And he's now believing God the Father is going to raise him from the dead. And he's there. And the people that are crucifying, the ones he's dying for, the ones he's paying for their sins, are laughing him to scorn. They're humiliating him. They have taken him through a whole bunch of deals. Before this, humiliating him. Glad you could join us, brother. Y'all understand? We're in, there's a Bible there you can borrow right there if you need one. Or you can share with him. Man, listen, let me tell you what. When you start to really think about this, all the way leading up to the cross was rather humiliating, wasn't it? Go to Matthew 27 before we get to the cross. These are things he was thinking on the cross. Go to Matthew 27 for a minute. Look at look at this, man. And you're telling me you'd rather keep the commandments and try to get yourself to heaven by good works? Verse 26, Matthew 27, 26. Thought I left you out there, didn't I? I was just seeing if you knew where I was going. The soldiers, verse 26, then released Barabbas onto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, they delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers of the governors, these are not wicked people. It'd be like Jim Bordeaux, who works for the military at one time. Who else had done military service? I know, you guys, that's who he's talking about, those kind of guys. You know, probably thought of yourself pretty high and you've done a pretty good job. Those kind of people were what we're talking about. And the soldiers of the governors, and by the way, we live in the capital, we may have soldiers of the governor around. Just a thought. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered on him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him naked. They stripped him. How would you like if we just, Jim, why don't you come on up here and we're going to strip you naked? George, would you like that? Carlton? Larry, he'd probably brag. He's the skinniest of us all. He probably got Harley Davidson socks on. Hey, they stripped him naked. Well, how humiliating is that when you're standing around and you're the only one naked? And he's the creator of heaven and earth. He had made the planets. He had spoken the stars into existence. And there he's standing before his creation, and they strip him naked and act like they're great people. I don't get it. I don't get it. And they're laughing at him and mocking him. And they put a scarlet robe on him. Verse 29. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, I have a hard time even thinking of that. See, he's worthy of the crowns of all crowns. He is worthy to wear the crowns of all crowns. And yet, he wore my crown. He wore the only thing I could brag about is a bunch of thorns that I was caught up in the cares of the... You know what the briars are? They're the cares of this world. He should have been wearing the crown of the crown. They platted him a crown of thorns in sense of humility to him, to bring him down, to humiliate him in front of mankind. People say, well, I don't get it. Hey, it's people just like you. And they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed their knees before him and mocked him. They mocked him. There is the one that created the heavens and earth. They're the ones that laid the DNA into every individual just the way it was. And everything that you could possibly see, God had made. And they're mocking him. And you know why? He's dying for you. He was dying in your stead. And I don't get it. Well, you ought to get it. You're the worm. You ought to get it. See, I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to know that you have eternal life today, that you got it, and that you're not going to go to hell, and that there won't come a day that you have a head-on collision or anything that might ever happen to you, that you might be saved and that you would trust in the living God. They platted a crown of thorns and they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed before him and mocked him. Say, I wouldn't do that. Here's the fact. I would have probably led the thing. Wouldn't you? We don't want to admit that. I'd have led the thing. I'm always the crowd leader. That would have been me. Jim would have been behind me saying, Barry, go ahead. Mock him some more. And I'd have stood up there bold and brash. Then they would have said, hey, do another one. Oh, your mother smells like cockroaches. You're humiliating them. That'd have been me. You know why that wasn't enough? Somebody, you know what the Bible says? It doesn't say it here, it says it in Luke, I think. But they put a blindfold on him and knocked him. He said, prophesy, thou son of man. Prophesy who hit you. You know what? He didn't only know who he was, he knew every ounce of his DNA. The Bible says he knew every hair on the head. He knew everything about that man. And he pounded the Lord like he didn't know. He knew. You know why he was doing that? He was dying so that person could be free. That was why he was dying. Oh, that doesn't seem fair. Well, it was the only way for you, don't you understand? There was no way for Barry Hampton to have salvation unless Jesus Christ went to that cross. There would have been no hope for me. There would have been nothing that I could have done. And you know what? They couldn't let this gospel out. For had they known it, they would have not what? Crucified him, so God kept it a secret. You're telling me this is the same gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No way. And you know where we spent our children's childhood? In the books of what? No gospel there. They spit on him. Can't you see the loogie hanging down off of his brow, dripping down in his beaten body, and there it is, just a piece of human spit coming down the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know why he took it? He was paying for your sins. He's paying for you. He went for you. He went for you to have life. And you guys were the ones spitting on him and mocking him and dressing him naked or undressing him and letting him be naked. You were the ones. You're the guilty ones. And you hadn't heard. It would be good to remember this. Amen. Paul says the foolishness of preaching of the cross. Preaching of the cross is the power of God. You want to hear the cross? It wasn't a pretty picture. It was a filthy, rotten place where they put wicked individuals to death. And when they were crucifying their Lord, they were crucifying me. What they saw and what they did was to me. And God allowed it. See, that's where the grace of God comes in. God allowed His Son to be in that position. More than that, the faith of Christ. He had to believe God the Father, just like you have to believe God the Father. The faith of Christ. Well, he's going through all that. Why do you think he's going through all that? For me. Oh, I would imagine this would probably be one of the more humiliating. There he is with a crown of thorn. They put a blindfold on. They buffered him. They piled furrows in the back, the psalmist says. And you know what was really wild? Is then they take the reed out of his hand and tap him on his head. That can't be anything more humiliating than to take the and tap. Can you imagine tapping on the Lord's head? Hail, King of the Jews. Ha, ha, ha! Ha, 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 ha! Everybody help me. Ha, ha, ha! Come on, laugh at it. That's what they were doing. Don't you get it? They hated him. They hated him. And the world is going to hate you. They will. I just get this by osmosis. No, no. No, no. You know what they all yelled? They were all yelling, crucify him, when he tried to release them. Just a little bit verses here. I want to hear everybody. Put the mics up just a little bit. I want you to hear them. Not loud now. I want you to yell to the top of your lung, crucify him.
Crucify him.
Oh, come on, like you mean it.
Crucify.
Louder.
Crucify.
Louder.
Crucify.
Come on, louder.
Crucify.
Come on, I mean louder. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. And the crowd would have been made up of people just like in this room. Say, no, I wouldn't have done it. That's why you're still lost. You think you're something. No way would I have treated the Lord that way. Well, then you don't know yourself very well. And after they mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put on his own raiment, and led him away to be what? Even casted lots. Look down in verse. And they crucified him. And they parted his garment and cast lots that they might fulfill that which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vestures did they cast lots. Go back to Psalms 22. Go to Psalms 22. There he is, a God-forsaken man hung on the cross. And he's calling out to God, and you know what? It's coming in on deaf ears. Because he's got to believe God the Father can raise him from that grave. After he paid for Sterling's sin, my sin, Norman's sin. Oh, I bet your repentance will really make you feel better here. Guys, if you could just get this, people could just see what Jesus Christ did for them. I wake up every morning thinking, how can I word a verbiage that someone might see this stuff? What is it that I could say in human words? I can't even find the words in my mouth. I study the scriptures just to try to find words, not to impress you with me, but to let you see the cross. I was talking to a brother in Christ, and we were on the phone, and he said, Brother Moore did have a gift. He did. He could make people see that cross. I wish I had that. I would do whatever I could to have that. Who wants anybody to bust hell wide open? Say, well, I studied the Bible. Yeah, that won't get you. Say, well, I gave money to the church. Thank you, but that won't get you there. I confess my sins regularly. No, that won't get you there either. What saves a person by grace are you saved through faith? And that not of yourselves. It's not about you praying, giving, doing, talking, saying, walking the aisle, doing all that. Blessing a Jew. Baptism. You know what it is? That God the Father made his Son to be sin for you, and he believed God would raise him from the dead. Psalms 22. Now watch this. Now we're in verse 7. Remember where they were laughing? back there in 27, here's where we are. Verse 7. And all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lips and they shake their heads, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighteth in him. He is the Lord. He is the creator of heaven and earth. But he couldn't come off that cross. He couldn't be who he wanted to be. He had to be made sin for us. Because if he hadn't have died on the cross, Barry Hampton would have no hope. Nobody in the world would have any hope. Verse 9, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God, and thou art my God from my mother's belly. By the way, from thy mother's belly, that means those children that have been aborted have a God. Amen? Just thought I'd throw that out for you. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. And there is none to help. He couldn't find anybody. The creator of heaven and earth that created the whole planet, created the whole sun system and satellites and all the stars and all the things, all the galaxies. And on this human that he made in his own image, he can't find one, not one, are you listening to me? Not one to come and help him. Where's all the righteous people then? Not one. He couldn't find one. There is none to help me. There wasn't anybody running up and say, Lord, let me help you. Not one. What's wrong with people? Amen. And I'm weird about people. Verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan. You know what he saw? He didn't see the people. You know what he saw while he was on the cross? The demons inside those people. He saw the bulls of Bashan. He saw the demons of hell in those people that had entered in. They weren't of God. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They had the spirit of Bashan, and they were the bulls of Bashan, and it beset him about. He saw into their hearts. Can you imagine being on the cross and seeing the heart of men while you're dying for them at the cross, while you're being placed up there for their sins, and you get to see their hearts? Okay, that was supposed to be dramatic. Oh, I can't find the words. I would do anything to find the words. Don't you get it? What is wrong with people? Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have besought me round about. They gap upon me with their mouths, and they rave as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. He saw his whole body, his energy, all of his fluids are pouring out of him from where they beat him and slapped him around. He's leaking like a water bucket. He's letting things flow. So how does that feel? I can tell you, I don't know anything about the suffering of the Lord. Y'all understand? I am not capable of knowing. But when I swole up with all that fluid, it got so bad in my legs. My legs would just leak fluids. They just leak water all over them. Brenda said, "What's happening to your legs?" I said, "I don't know. My feet are all hurting." He was poured out like water on that cross, don't you get it? He laid it out. He wasn't playing around. He's putting it out there. And you know what? People aren't talking about the cross anymore. They're not talking about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They're talking about how good you can be and how great you are, you charming people. Well, if that was the case, then he died in vain. Now, I don't hear the cross being preached at churches anymore. I've been to other churches. They just kind of skip over this whole message. And not real popular. Verse 14. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. They had beat him to no end. My heart is like wax. You ever get to where you're just brokenhearted? He's watching this whole thing happen. And you ever get when you're out of strength? So wore out you can't go any further? Ever get to that place? The Lord did. He said in verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. Oh, I'm going to muster it up. I'm going to keep the commandments of God. I can go on to the end. Man, I'll take grace over that any day. Are you kidding me? The Lord's own strength, the one that created it all, it's like dried up. My tongue cleaved to my jaw. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. That's where he's heading with the faith of Christ. He wasn't made of the dust. He was made of God the Father. But thou hast brought me in to the dust of death. He's about to step off into the baptism of death. Oh, man. You know, you just ache inside yourself, don't you? I do. That I can't explain this. I want you to get it. What do you got to brag about? Come on, I want you to bring your braggers down and lay it down here. I want to see what you think you've gotten that's so great, that God's so impressed with, that you're just, you know, come on. Ain't nothing down there that God wants. He wants His dearly beloved Son, but He can't have Him now. He's got to go down into hell. And the dust of death is about to capture Him. The dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Oh yeah, this is the Lord. Oh yeah, this is what He was thinking on the cross. They've part my garments among them and cast lots for my... Where did we just read about that? This is the Lord. You got to ask yourself, why did the Lord do all this? See, if He didn't go to that cross, if He hadn't partaken of that cup, you would never have any hope. Ever. And so God kept it a secret. Can you imagine that? And you know who He revealed it to? The Apostle Paul. And Paul talks about the faith of Christ about 6 or 8 times, I think it is. We're saved by the faith of Christ. We're sealed. It's all the faith of Christ. It hasn't anything to do with you. The fact is, it's already been done. I want to do something. Well, you can't do anything but believe. Believe it. Believe He did it. So that's a work. No, it's not. You can believe it. And the moment you believe it, you know what? You've been sealed for all eternity. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. See, He's made the payment. The moment I got saved, the 24th of August, 1983, this is the verse that popped into my head. And I turned there and I scored it in my Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Folks, listen, let me tell you what. It's either all of what Jesus Christ did or you're still lost going to hell. It's the faith of Christ. Then even your faith. Say, well, I got to believe. Yes, you do have to believe it. Otherwise, how would you believe it? You got to believe it. But what saves you is the what? Faith of Christ. He went to that cross, did it, and you know what? God raised him from the dead. Well, I'm going to give you one last verse after this one, and we're done for the day. Verse 21. For he, that is God Almighty, hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Mark 14, 35-36. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, you're looking at the guy as righteous as Almighty God. I'm not running around. God imputed to me his righteousness. Say, I don't like him. I don't like me either. Larry tells me for 23 years, you're not very nice. No, but I don't even like me. I don't. But you know what? I am saved. And I am going to eternity when my last breath is drawn. And it comes down to that last moment, doesn't it? God's not going to put your good on one side or the bad. He's not going to weigh out what you did or what you didn't do. He's not going to see whether you gave or didn't give. He's going to see, was there a moment in your life when you believed that gospel? In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed. Guys, listen to me. In the moment, see, Christ died for everybody's sins on that cross. Amen? Everybody's sins. He's not getting back up there. I'm always amazed at people that confess their sins. What are they going to do? Expect them to climb back up there and die afresh? Hebrews says he's not going to do that, and that was to the Jews. It's already done. Either he's paid it all, or you're doing something in order to be saved. Now think about it. We sing all the songs. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a good person like me. That's how we sang it. You know? Think about it. That's how most of us sing it, like we're Christians now. Well, those sinners over there, I got some great news. You're just like the sinners over there. The difference is you have the faith of Christ and they don't. You know what our job is? To make sure they have the faith of Christ. So they can have eternal life. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What's the mystery? Christ died for your sins and it's no longer your works that save you. It's the faith of Christ. When was there a moment in your life that you knew for a fact that you were trusting all the things you did? Whether it's even saying a prayer. People say prayers and think, well, I said a prayer, God must save me. No. God's already done everything that could be done for you to be saved. All you have to do is relax. Brother Moore used to give a great illustration about the wheelbarrow. You know, there's a guy with a wheelbarrow and he draws it across the Grand Canyon. And he gets out there, you know, on that wheelbarrow, and he gets out about a third of the way. And he says, how many believe I can? Yeah. He backs up. He said, well, if you really believe, get in the wheelbarrow. When you're in that wheelbarrow, you know what you're doing? You're not trusting you. You're probably holding as still as possible. And that's the difference between believing in vain and believing unto salvation. When did you get in the wheelbarrow? Buddy, don't play with it. See, a friend of mine just died Thursday. They just buried him yesterday. Young boy, about 34, 35 years of age. Some trailer had dropped a tire, and his car came up on that tire, and it got caught under the front of the van, which was sitting kind of low, and lifted it up so he had no driving capacity. He did about 35 miles an hour when he hit that tire. It snugged up under that chassis, and all of a sudden he starts drifting over, and over that hill comes a dually. And him and that dually hit head on. So it won't happen to me. I can tell you about a little boy 9 years old just backing out of his garage. He wasn't doing the driving, but he was in the car. Two kids came up racing. It won't happen to me. An 80-year-old person went in for a minor operation, came out dead. Well, I don't know who's... I want you to look around this room for just a minute. I want you to look seriously at the people's eyes. One of us will be the next person in this room to die. That's a fact. That is a 100% fact. Look around the room. Who is it going to be? Who do you think? Dale, who do you think might be the next one to die? Jim, how about you? What do you think? Who's going to be the next to die in this room?
Nobody knows.
Norman, you want to take a bet at it? What do you think?
I don't know. Rob volunteered.
Amen. That man's saved. Me too, brother. But you know what? We don't know, do we? Wouldn't that be terrible to have heard those two messages today and walk out of those rooms lost? What's keeping you from getting saved? Everything's been done. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to say a prayer. You have to believe that Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for you. And you know what? He rose again the third day. One last verse and I'm done. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 24. Romans 4, 24. And this will be the last verse for the day. But for us also, verse 24, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offense and was raised again for our justification. That word for is the Greek word D-I-A. It's translated in the King James Bible in Matthew 13:21 as because of. Now let me read it with because of. Who was delivered because of our offenses. Why was Jesus Christ delivered? Because of our sin. And was raised again because of our what? He could not, listen to me, he could not have been raised from the dead had he not died for your sins and made the payment. It's done. It's done. There is nothing more that you've got to do except believe it. I wrote this song. All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price, isn't he? Gracious and nice. That all you got to do is believe. Wrote that right after I got saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He did it all. I'm done.